This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Believing that every child deserves a great future, the social enterprise Leap Ed Services was formed with a specific focus to transform students' learning experience and equip them with the necessary skills for the 21st century. With massive shifts happening in the education sector globally, how can we best support teachers, students, and parents to face the challenges ahead? Joining me to discuss this and more is Nina Adlan Disney, the Executive Director of Leap Ed Services. Welcome, Nina. How are you today?
I'm fine, thanks, Juliet.
Thank you so much for joining us. So just to start off with, Nina, can you tell me a little bit about Leap Ed Services? You know, what is it, you know, and what sorts of services do you offer?
Okay, well, your introduction was a great summary, Juliet. But just to add a little bit, as you said, we are a social enterprise and our key focus is education transformation. What do we mean by that? Basically, we want to change the way that students learn, to make learning more engaging, to make learning more relevant so that they can face the challenges of the future. And I think the current situation, Juliet, has brought that sharply into focus. Mm-hmm. We've always talked about preparing students for what we call a VUCA world, you know, V-U-C-A, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And I think the current unprecedented COVID crisis really, you know, brings that into sharp effect.
That's
the
right.
The need to create a very, relevant and flexible method of learning.
So you've been around for a while now, am I correct? I mean, tell me a little bit about how Leap Ed Services got its start.
Okay, well, we were established 10 years ago. By Kazana. And I think the idea was to really try and be a game changer for education, because I think what a lot of employers, including Kazana, were finding was that there was a gap between the qualifications and the credentials that students had and their actual ability to demonstrate and perform that in the workplace. For example, in terms of presentations, in terms of group work, in terms of very simple things like articulating their ideas in an interview, and also the ability to problem solve in a work situation. It's no longer about being able to regurgitate, right?
That's right.
Lots of information. It's about how you use that information, how you can evaluate that information, how you can apply that information to the various situations that you come up with at work. So I think at the time, 10 years ago, the idea was that it can't be something that you just do at university level. You've got to go earlier than that, to really change the culture in our schools, to change the mindset in which, you know, our schools are currently run. So that was really basically the genesis to the whole concept of the trust school. And that's when the trust schools were launched.
Trust schools, right. And maybe you can explain a little bit more about that.
Yeah, sure. So trust schools are really the flagship of Leap Ed Services. Trust Schools is a program where we go into a school, national school, it can be a vernacular school, it can be a high performing school, urban school, rural school. So we have 90 schools throughout the country. And the idea with the Trust School program is that we go in and we are looking to support that school to become better versions of themselves, really. Mm. How do we do that? We provide support for teachers, and we have found that is, well, it's not just we that have found this, but research tells us that the single determinant of student outcomes is effective teachers, right? Mm-hmm. So what we do is we go into schools and we support schools and we support teachers to become more effective, because what we have found is that teachers very often know in theory, you know, what the best pedagogy might be, but sometimes they need the support to create an environment where those pedagogies are actively encouraged. As much as anything, Juliet, it's about changing cultures. It's about changing mindsets away from that very teacher-centric, rote learning kind of system that we find in many of our schools.
So when you do enter a school, I mean, do you have to come to an agreement for them to, I suppose, allow you in, you know? I mean, what's that process of, you know, choosing which schools that you do attempt to work with?
Absolutely. So what we have is the Trust School program is done under a public-private partnership, Juliet. Mm-hmm. So that entails, obviously, the agreement of the Ministry of Education to enable us to enter the schools to do this program.
Okay. And tell me a little bit about your team who are working to do this.
So what we have is an international team comprising both of international experts and local experts. So what we're trying to do, Juliet, is to bring international best practice, but absolutely contextualized to suit our Malaysian setting. Because there's no point trying to bring in something from Finland or Japan or wherever it is and thinking that you can just transplant it here and it's going to work.
That's right. So
that is something that we're very attuned to, the fact that at the end of the day, we have to impact our communities and our schools. So whatever we do is always tailored, not just to Malaysia in general, but to each and every individual school, because there are very many schools with very different requirements and needs, right? So our team that goes in, we always start with something called a baselining exercise, Juliet. So that's where we try and get data to support our findings, to ensure that we have a good understanding of the priorities of that particular school.
That's really quite an undertaking. I mean, it must be a very time-consuming process as well, you know, to get to know each individual school's issues, you know, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, you know, to come up with a system that best suits that school as well.
Absolutely, Juliet, because as I said earlier, it's not so much about bringing in a program. It's about the first thing you have to do is, you know, it's winning the hearts and minds of not just the teachers, the school leaders, but the entire community. It has to be based on, building trust and, you know, ensuring that people are open to new ideas. Because as you can imagine, there will always be a certain amount of resistance in some schools, you know, for someone from the outside or what they perceive as outsiders coming in and, you know, trying to do new things. Yeah. So above all, it takes a lot of resilience, a lot of patience. But I think, you know, we're just guided by our mission here, Juliet, that we really want to see student outcomes and every child achieving their fullest potential.
So it's been about 10 years now. What would you say are some of your success stories, if you want to call it that?
Oh, gosh, there's so many. I know it's sounding like I'm tooting my own horn, but I think the easiest reference I can make is to our impact study. After 10 years, we conducted an impact study to look at some of the key findings. And what we found is, number one, is student well-being is absolutely through the roof in terms of students wanting engaged with their learning, wanting to learn. And also the second thing, so student well-being is one. The second thing is teacher effectiveness and teacher belief, that after our program, teachers have moved, you know, at an exponential rate in terms of having the confidence to try and practice different, pedagogical skills. So, you know, those are the two key things. So if you have teachers who are more confident and students who are willing to learn and have the confidence to communicate, the critical thinking, you know, I think Malaysia will have a bright future.
That's wonderful. And, you know, how do you see the sustainability of this? You know, is it something that can be, you know, once you have left that school, you know, do you see the progress that you made continuing, and how do you ensure that happens?
Yes, absolutely. Great question, Juliet. That is obviously one of the key challenges that we face once we go into a school. You know, we don't want to, we want those practices that we've introduced to be sustainable. So a key aspect of the Trust School program is also systemic change. Mm-hmm. In other words, getting the system on board. What we've learned is that, you know, you have to get the system, and by the system, I mean not just the Federal Ministry of Education, but also the state, you know, departments, JPN, the district education offices, PPDs. They have to own it, literally, because these are their schools. So they have to be on board to make sure that these practices that we've introduced in the trust schools will sustain. And I have to say that in many, many JPNs and PPDs, we've been very, very successful at doing that. And what's great about that, Juliet, is that once the system takes it on board, these practices can be replicated in other schools as well, not just in the trust schools, once it's embedded and cultured within the system. So that's really our aim. Clearly, the trust schools, there are 10,000 schools in the country. There are only 90 trust schools. There's no way that we would have the resources to make every single school a trust school. But what we're hoping is that these trust schools can be sort of role models, if you like, and that if we impact the system and the system believes in what we're doing, trust schools can be replicated in other schools as well.
Okay, and how do you decide which school then to sort of to start a program in? And, you know, if a school is listening and they want to get involved, you know, can they approach you in that sense as well?
Yes. Well, in the past, Juliet, our work has been funded mainly by the generosity of corporate sponsors. So many of the corporate sponsors have particular areas that they want to impact. So those are the schools that we go into. So, for example, Petronas is a sponsor, so needless to say, they wanted to go to communities where they have operations like Terengganu and East Malaysia. So that's how schools have been selected in the past, basically down to sponsors. But moving forward, I think we are going to diversify our funding model, Juliet, recognizing that, you know, it's not just the responsibility of sponsors, but it's everybody's responsibility, education, right? Everybody wants a good education system. So what we're doing currently, Juliet, is exploring lots of different funding models. So, for example, we will be reaching out to, for example, PIBGs, you know, parent-teacher associations. Mm-hmm. We'll be reaching out to alumni organizations. A lot of alumni of schools, you know, have an interest to improve their schools. We're also looking at crowdfunding. So, yes, that's something that we are doing currently. We are looking to diversify how trust schools and our education transformation models in general, how they are funded.
So now, you know, just to pivot to the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, and the closure of all schools across the country, that threw so many of us off, you know, it threw us off our education game. And of course, you know, all of us have to adapt and fast. But how do you see that happening? And how do you see LeapEd, you know, assisting in that?
I think what the current crisis has done, Juliet, is it's really magnified a lot of the issues that were existing anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So as I said earlier, a key determinant of student outcomes is teacher effectiveness. So the issue here is that how are teachers going to be effective online? So if they're not effective in the classroom. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it has, as I said, magnified the issues that were there already. So effective teachers have to be comfortable with using all the various platforms that we have. It's also a mindset issue, as I said earlier. It's wanting, you know, being enthusiastic about learning, being able to learn very rapidly, having the agility to adjust and adapt. And in order for that student engagement to take place. So, as I said, the biggest challenge is that teachers have had to very rapidly adapt to new ways of learning. So we're still adapting. And there are some who are very fast at this. There are some who take a bit longer to adapt. But ultimately, it is about being willing and open to new ideas, which is exactly the issue in schools, even without the current crisis.
Oh dear. But, you know, the students, you know, how will they be impacted? Because research has suggested that almost every student experiences some type of performance penalty when they switch to, you know, remote learning, even under the best circumstances. So, you know, for example, they earn a lower grade than they might have otherwise, or they fail to complete the course completely, you know. I mean, how do we help students in that sense, you know?
I think the biggest issue to student outcomes is to enable feedback, to ensure that monitoring takes place. I think one of the problems at the moment is that students are being overwhelmed, just as teachers are, with a lot of worksheets, for example.
That's right.
Doing worksheets is seen as a good alternative to learning, but doing worksheets is not about learning. And sitting in front of a Zoom class or whatever class, even though that class may be conducted well, also doesn't equate to learning. The way that we ensure that students are learning is to ensure that we have mechanisms to monitor their learning, to ensure that we're giving feedback. And again, all the studies show that giving good, constructive feedback is the way for students to continuously learn and to improve. So it's about ensuring that teachers are comfortable with the different strategies that we have to ensure that quality learning, not just about, you know, time in front of a online class.
That's right. Just ticking a box that the class has been taught in that
exactly.
sense, right?
One of the things that we've done at LEAPED, Juliet, is to provide online platforms, or what we call PLCs, professional learning communities. So these online platforms, PLCs, and webinars are designed to bring together educators so that we can share experiences and exchange ideas to see what best practices, to see what works and what doesn't work. And so we're very pleased that our webinars have had over 1,000, I think nearly 1,500 different teachers, parents, school leaders from up and down the country.
That's wonderful.
Yes. Another initiative maybe I could mention is we've come up, when we talk about student motivation, a lot comes down to obviously their home environment and parental engagement. That's the thing, right? With online learning, students are at home and parents are very, you know, they're under a lot of pressure because they are also, in most instances, working from home. So they're trying to juggle their work, their children. So what parents also need is, again, tips and strategies, how to help their children learn. And it's got to be easy because they're not teachers. They don't have the training and they don't have the time. But what we've done is we've come up with very easy tips and we call them LEAPED Bright Ideas. Mm-hmm. There's a Telegram channel and we send out, you know, two or three tips a week. And they're practical, easy to achieve activities to help parents, to support parents, to help their children learn. Yeah, that's LEAPED Bright Ideas. And also another challenge, Juliet, is of course around Malaysia, there's hugely differing access, right? Not just to internet connectivity, but also to devices. So we are currently exploring how to go kind of old school on this. So one of the things that we're doing, and we're working with a telco on this, is sending learning tips by text, you know, going really old school, using SMS as a way to support the learning process for parents. So look out for that. As I said, we're working on that with a telco at the moment. The idea is, again, similar to LEAPED Bright Ideas, to send out two or three messages a week, simple things that parents can access and that parents can do with their children.
Okay, that's wonderful. So there's a lot of things that LEAPED is working on. And, you know, we're talking a lot about a new normal. And I think online learning seems to be steadfastly part of that new normal. So I guess is that something that you're also going to be prepping yourselves for, you know, and helping others, you know, to undertake in the long term?
Absolutely, Juliet, because as I said, it's kind of the current crisis has accelerated a lot of things that we were working towards anyway. Mm-hmm. And what it has accelerated is this movement towards what we call education 3.0. You know, you hear about industry 4.0. So in education, you have a similar kind of trend in which the goal has always been, Juliet, to make learning self-directed, student-centered. Mm-hmm. So this is something that, as I said earlier, has, you know, magnified in the current crisis. Students are having to be self-directed. They have to be able to access lots of different information sources. But before they can access different information sources, they have to have the motivation to do it. They want to learn. Learning has to be joyful. Learning has to be exciting. So that's what we were working towards in the Trust Schools all along. Yeah, bringing back the joy in learning, getting students engaged, and that teachers are not the source of information. There are lots. I mean, in this day and age, you know, information is at our fingertips. So what this current crisis hopefully will accelerate is that movement towards a system where students take ownership for their own learning. Teachers obviously are still important, but teachers are there as facilitators, as guides, as people to provide that encouragement and motivation, pointing students to the right direction, helping students to evaluate information sources, being able to think what is relevant, what is not relevant, what's a good opinion, what's not a good opinion. So hopefully, you know, the impact of the current crisis will lead to that kind of education ideal.
And, you know, what better time than now to really, you know, get this kick-started and start moving forward? You know, like you said, we've identified all these issues in the past. Now's the time that we try and fix it.
Yeah. So, I mean, in fact, another thing that we're doing is, I mentioned about sharing different experiences. I mean, we have to look around the world, yeah, and look for solutions around the world. And it really is very exciting, Juliet, because it is about reimagining how education could and should be in the long run. So as much as we want to go back to normal, we also want to find a new normal. And I think that our priorities have changed now. The priority now is not about exams and education per se. The priority should and always has been on learning. Yes, it's not about, you know, how many facts and how many A's. I mean, you know, no doubt academic, I'm not downplaying the importance of academic achievement, but the fact that, you know, we have been able to take this bold move to, for example, you know, push aside, you know, UPSR, no need, PT3, no need, we'll find, and this is around the world, you know, in the UK, all the standardized assessments, for example, GCSEs, IGCSEs, A-levels, they've all been put aside. So I hope that educators around the world can use this as an opportunity to see, well, how can we evaluate students apart from standardized tests? So hopefully some good can come out of all of this.
Yes, and I'm afraid we're running out of time, but you know, if anyone would like to get in touch and would like to learn more, the website is leapedservices.com, am I correct?
That's correct, Juliet.
Okay, and I'm sure there's contact details there that they can get in touch with you guys through.
Absolutely. So yes, we are reaching out to communities, and it is about building communities. The old African proverb, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. And, you know, this is exactly the situation we're in now. We need to work in this together.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Juliet.
I've been speaking to Nina Adlan-Disney. She's the Executive Director of Leap Ed Services. And again, if you'd like to find out more, the website is Leap Ed Services. That's LeapEdServices.com. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Live and Learn interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.